Thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Deep Blue, and this is Practice Chats with producer Cleon Wall, where we take some time after practice to get to know some of the Cougars of BYU. Today, it's with safety Tommy Prassas. Tommy, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, I want to ask you first about your nickname. It's Tomahawk, is that right?
Yep, Tomahawk. Actually, my middle name's actually Hawk, so it's Tommy Hawk Prassas, and then my dad, Keelan Marion, everybody on the team kind of just went with Tomahawk. They didn't really know my middle name was Hawk, and then I was like, you guys actually know my middle name is Hawk, and they're like, oh, wow, it fits perfectly. So, it's kind of just a mixture of my name and then also kind of what everybody else is saying.
I have to find out, Hawk, how did that, why were you given that middle name?
So my dad, my whole family's got like cool middle names, like my brother's Bear and then Lion, and then my sisters have like cute little girl ones, but like, I was the first born, and he just decided Hawk. Maybe he knew I was going to be a ball hawk or something.
Okay, I was going to ask, does it kind of fit with the position you play?
It does, it does. Today I actually got a pick, so feeling good.
There you go.
December 2023, you signed to play for BYU out of Basha High School in Arizona. In one word, how would you describe your freshman season?
I'd say it was fun. I mean, we had a great season compared to the one before, and I had fun. I made plays, got to play as a freshman, and got to make plays as a freshman, and I'd just say it was super fun.
Yeah, you played in all 13 games last season. What did you do during the summer and then during fall camp that led to your success?
Yeah, I think a big part of it was graduating early and coming up here and getting a spring ball in and then able to have an extra fall camp. Because I just got to be able to be in the film room with Coach Hill, learn from him, mentor under him, and then also get on the field with the guys and learn in person instead of just over the phone.
What were the coaches telling you throughout camp that also led to you being a regular contributor on this team?
I think it was just like they knew I had a chance to come in and play right away, and I knew I had the ability to come in and play right away, so I just took advantage of it.
What was it like having your family at the Alamo Bowl? To have them there, I've seen pictures of you holding the trophy, they're all around you. What was it like having them there at that game?
It was awesome. Great game, Colorado. It was awesome to see them. They were there like the week throughout that we were there. So got to see them in the city. And after the game, it was fun. Got to hang out then, went to the Airbnb, just celebrated the win. And
Wow, first time probably was it the first time this season that you got to actually hang out with the family afterwards?
My dad actually came to every single game.
Oh, awesome.
So after the games, either if it was home games, he'd usually come over to my house and we'd hang out, talk about the game and, you know, chat it up. And then after away games, we kind of just give a little say what's up and then get back on the plane and head back to Provo.
What was it like having their support? How have they helped you out in this process of being a college football player?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I think without my family, I wouldn't be here. They're just always there supporting me, motivating me, letting me know, like, teaching me just if I need help or whatever. And
And that goes beyond football then,
yes,
too.
Sir. Yes, sir. They're all great leaders, role models, and showing me how to be a good young man.
Going back to the Alamo Bowl, I saw a little video that you, I don't know who put it together for you, but it showed a little bit of the Alamo Bowl. It shows you tackling Travis Hunter. What was it like, you know, being able to take down the Heisman Trophy winner?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was a crucial third down, and he was wide open in the flat, and I just came down and made a good tackle. So it was awesome. I was super lit after.
Travis plays cornerback, but he also played a little wide receiver. Any inkling that you want to go to the offensive side of the ball and just say, hey, can you put me in for a player?
I'd be telling Keelan and JoJo that I could be a better receiver than them. But, you know, I don't think the offense is ready for my talent on that side of the ball yet. So I'll just keep balling out on defense.
The play that I think most fans will remember from you last season, at least this is my opinion, is your scoop and score in the Kansas State game. First, how did you stay balanced when you picked up that ball? Because it looked like, you know, you're trying to run and you're trying to pick something up and you have to keep your feet. How did you stay balanced to be able to get into the end zone?
Yeah, no. I mean, that was an awesome play. I'll never forget it. Jack Kelly hitting him, popping the ball out, and then it kind of was just right there. I had to bend down a little bit, but as soon as I got up, I kind of like got like my legs got a little numb because I was super excited. But yeah, I just picked it up and started high-stepping in the end zone, screaming with the rock. It was awesome.
What was your favorite play last season? And then maybe what's your second favorite play that maybe fans would not even think about? Like, you know, I did this one really cool thing, and maybe fans wouldn't even notice that's what I did. So favorite one last season, then maybe a secret favorite number two.
I think really just the scoop and score was by far my favorite, because I was just, I don't know. It was not many people on defense score touchdowns, so it's pretty special. And then I say my second favorite was my first pick against Oklahoma State. It was just it was a crucial pick and led the offense to go score a touchdown before, I'm not sure when it was, but just go score a touchdown and ended up winning the game. So
yeah. And the pick that you had, it was a tipped ball. I mean, how hard is it to readjust yourself? You're going one way very fast, and then all of a sudden the ball's in the air, it's tipped, and all of a sudden you have to kind of change direction and try to get that ball.
Yeah, no, backers did a good job at dropping and getting their hands up and tipping the ball up, and I was kind of thinking he was going to throw it to the outside guy, and then I saw him his shoulders come back and throw it, and it kind of just tipped right into my hands. I just had to dive for it a little bit, and yeah, it was awesome.
You are an Arizona kid. Where did you dream of playing college football as you were growing up?
Growing up, I wasn't like the biggest college sports fan, really. I was kind of like more of an NFL, NBA guy, like biggest Cardinals fan, like just huge like hometown fan. But I mean, I'd say it would be ASU, but just because that's like 30 minutes away from me. But I didn't really have a dream school growing up.
So how did you end up here at BYU then?
I think, Micah Harper, he was here previously. His dad coached me in high school, and they kind of got me connected with the coaches up here at BYU, and then I came up to camp a couple times and then earned the scholarship from Coach Hill, and then I was just like, yeah, I knew I could play here and be a playmaker here, so yeah, I just decided to come here.
All right, you did a day in the life back in January, so not too long ago, day in life back in January. There were so many questions I want to ask you about that, but here's the one I want to know. Do you really not cook in your kitchen?
No, I don't. We have a great nutrition staff here. I just take home tons of food and put them in the fridge and heat them up. And just, if I want to eat for real, I'll go to Chipotle because that's my favorite spot. But, I really don't eat. That's why I got the shoes in the pantry and really just nothing else going on in the kitchen.
So if I asked you, when was the last meal you cooked at home? Like, not reheated, but actually prepared, and it doesn't have to be homemade or anything like that, but just actually prepared a meal at home. Can you even identify what it is that you ate?
Yeah, I think I made like eggs one morning, but I think it was, I just made some eggs and I think that was really it. Some eggs and some avocado, and that's really it.
You mentioned Chipotle, but if you had a go-to meal, like you're like, this is what I want, this is my favorite meal and this is what I'm gonna go for, what meal would that be?
First of all, I love strawberries with a little sugar on top. And then I'd say, you know, I'm from Arizona, so I'd say tacos or some steak tacos. Yeah, I'd say that. Some strawberries with sugar and some steak tacos.
That's a pretty simple dessert, too. Strawberries with sugar is pretty simple.
Yeah, no, that's my favorite.
Tommy Prassas, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Jason Shepherd here, the host of the Deep Blue podcast, and one of our other great BYU radio podcasts is 2-Point Conversion, hosted by Connor Pay and Chase Roberts. These guys not only play football, but they love to share their insights and their testimony into the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. And each week, those guys are going to discuss the Come Follow Me lesson from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You get to learn and you get to hear from two football players. You can't beat that, right? You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back for practice chats. My guest is football defensive back Therrien Alexander III. Sounds so regal. What's the origin of your first name?
It originally started from my great uncle, Uncle Therry. It came from him, and then it passed on to my dad. So my dad was Therrien Alexander Sr., and then I had an older brother who was Therrien Alexander II, a.k.a. TJ, and then me, Therrien Alexander III, and that's where Trey come from, because in Spanish it's uno, dos, tres, but it's spelled T-R-E, and that's where it comes from.
So, because of that, there's no confusion in your family at all about who's talking to who, right?
No, not at all. My mama says Therrien in the house. She's talking to my dad. She says TJ is my older brother. She says Trey is me.
Okay, how many other people messed that first name up, though?
A lot. I mean, Theron, Terry, it's so much. But, like, that's why I always put emphasis on it. I like when people pronounce it correctly.
Okay. Do you like having a unique name, though?
Yeah, most definitely. I don't like being like everybody else in, like, any facet of life. So, no, it's a cool thing.
Okay, it sounds like not many people call you by your proper first name. It sounds like they call you Trey, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got a million nicknames, though. Trey, Lil Theron, T3. I mean, I got a bunch of them. Okay.
Your favorite. What's your favorite out of all of them?
Favorite? I mean, my mom gave me the nickname Trey Trey, but, I mean, it's whatever me. As long as it's respectful, I mean, I don't really care what people call me, really. Yeah, I'm good.
You and fellow Georgia native, Keelan Marion, both switched to the number one. Did you guys plan that out?
Yeah, we did, kind of. Keelan was going back to number one regardless because he wore it at UConn, and I wore number one lastly in high school, my senior year of high school, and when he made the change, number one was open on the defensive side of the ball, and the equipment manager, Josh, he came to me. He was like, Trey, one's open. Why didn't you switch? And in my head, I'm like, man, it's whatever. And because I know one comes with a lot. I'm not going to lie. It comes with a lot. And I talked to Coach Hill about it. He was asking, am I ready for it? And, I mean, the rest is history. They gave it to me.
Why do you think he asked if you're ready for it? Just because when people look out on the field, I mean, if you're like number 36 or something like that, you're probably not picking that number out unless you really know that guy. But if you're number one, it's like, wait. Why is that guy wearing number one? Why do you think he said that, if you're ready for wearing number one?
I think it really acts it because, like, I mean, like I said, it comes with a lot of pressure. I mean, when you look on the field, like from park ball on up, you got everyone looking like, who are the numbers? Number one is a number that's always supposed to stand out and be worn by somebody, you know, who plays the game the right way, who comes with a lot of energy, a lot of passion. So, I mean, and you know, a lot of people get number one, they get arrogant, big-headed, get complacent. So it was one of those things where he was just making sure, like, I knew what came with it and was, you know, ready to carry the weight of it.
You posted on social media that you are one of one. Where did that come from, and why does that mean something to you?
It means something to me because, like, I don't want to be like anyone else. I mean, you hear it all the time. People have done their own thing in, like, the sport and in life for a long time, but I try to stand out in my ways and always be, like, who I am truly. Like, you know, originally, I obviously don't fit the BYU mold that people, you know, usually think. Like, it's a good kid that who just, like, you know, I mean, if I'm being honest, good kid, comes from the richest family, all that. I don't fit that mold, you know. I come from, you know, could be one of the rougher sides of town. So, for me, I just always want to be myself. Don't never change where I'm at. I'll never change the authentic person I am. You know, just always be me. That's what one of one is. Just being yourself always, no matter where you at.
How do you make yourself stand out? How do you make it so that people are interested in talking to you or wanting to get to know you better? Or just how do you stand out yourself?
I'm always going to carry my personality. Like me, I tell people, and you would notice, even on the football field, I tell jokes all day. So no matter if we go into the most serious, like, setting or whatever, I always tell people straight up, like, who I am, where I come from, how I act. I never try to switch that around, even the way I talk. You know, me and Keelan come from the same side of town. We have, like, a lot of slang, and, I mean, I'm going to use it. That's just who we are and how we was taught. Obviously, like, it's a time and place for everything, but, you know, I just try to stay true to myself by, like, what I do. I mean, even the way I dress, like, everything. Like, just be me.
Okay, so give us an idea of, like, a joke or some slang that you use, and hopefully it's able to be on our podcast. So.
Most definitely. one of the things in Atlanta that we say a lot is twin. I mean, anybody could be your twin. Like, it's not necessarily – it's, like, almost like brother. Like, what's up, twin? How you doing today, twin? Like, that's just how we talk to each other. I mean, we say it to the coaches. I mean, you could be twin. Like, everybody's, like, twin. Just, like, one of the things that we carry with us.
I think I'd have to grow a few more inches and probably dress a little differently. I don't think I'm as hip as you are. So, how did this one of one do in his freshman season? Kind of grade yourself on your freshman year here at BYU.
If I'm being, like, harsh on myself just because, like, the expectation for me, like, personally is so high, it'd be like a, you know, C+, B-, something like that. But if I'm being, like, overall, like, realistic, I mean, you could say, like, A, really. I got a chance to learn and sit behind two people who made all conference. I mean, I got to be a part of a special team, 11-win team that won the Alamo Bowl. It was our second year in the Big 12, so I got to come in the program who's growing and who's going to, like, be in the running for a national championship. So, like, for me, I mean, I give it an A because I learned so much. I learned, like, how to carry myself off the field, how to always attack the weight room, how to attack every practice. So, I mean, realistically, in the era of the transfer portal, you have so many people who you know, sit up here and say, oh, I should have been playing, I should have been. Nah, I didn't mind sitting on the bench. I learned a lot. It taught me so much how to have great humility. So, like, I had a great freshman year, honestly.
You got to play in 10 games. If Coach Guilford was able to give you a grade, what do you think he would give you on your freshman season?
Me and him about the same myself, C+, B-, something like that. Just because we know, like, where my potential is and how much I know I can, you know, go out there and produce. So for me, if we're grading me harsh, I mean, C plus, B minus. Like, it was a good year. I had great flashes of potential, obviously, but it wasn't nowhere near where we were going to be this year and where we're going to be for the future. So,
what's the best advice he's given you so far? He was a cornerback here at BYU. He's been coaching cornerbacks here at BYU. You're still young, new, learning. What's the best advice that you've received from Coach Guilford so far?
Some of the best advice he gave me is, like, when you get on the field, I mean, you got to play mad. Like, you it got to mean something to you. You got to take everything personal. If a receiver coming up trying to block you, get your hands on you, take it personal. It's one of the things, like, it's like a joking matter when he says it, but he's serious about it. I mean, his mama going to be watching the game, your mama going to be watching the game. Who mama would you rather be mad? And it's just taking that approach, like, every single play, every rep, like, the intent behind everything, like, play like a madman. That's one of the things, like, he emphasized with me, and, you know, it's showing up.
Last year, I actually talked to Keelan about some very similar things. I wanted to talk to him about a strange journey of getting here, going from Atlanta to UConn out here to BYU. I want to know how you ended up here out at BYU, because you're in the backyard of Georgia, Georgia Tech. You're in the SEC, ACC country. How do you make your way out here to Provo and BYU?
Honestly, it started with Coach Papinga. He was recruiting a school in my area, well, not too far from me, called Holy Innocence. They was in the region we played in. He was just asking them, do y'all know of any good cornerbacks, like, in the area or whatever. So by this time, I think I had about, like, 8 offers maybe. And they called me to the office, and I walk in there. It's BYU sitting there, and it's Clemson. Coach Pop was talking to me. He was like, man, we like you a lot. Clemson was talking to me. So then after that, Coach Pop called me later that night, and he was like, man, we love you. We love your film. We love everything you're about. We talked for, like, 15, 20 minutes maybe. He talked to myself, my mom, and my dad. And after that, he said 2 weeks later, Coach G will be out there to see you. Coach G came to see me, you know, did a small little workout. I mean, he gave me the offer. So then at that point, I wanted to commit before my senior season, of course. So I want to say I committed around, like, August 6th of 2023. And, I mean, I committed without ever taking a visit, ever stepping a foot in Utah. That's one of the things that people don't know. And I committed, held the faith, and then I took an official visit. It was myself, Jonathan Cabea, and Mark Collins were all on the same visit. Me and Keelan showed me around, and honestly, like, the school played a big part of connections outside of football, but, like, Keelan being here made me feel like it's a comfortable place for me to be. Like, when you get somebody from your neighborhood, like a big brother to you who really, like, made it out and really showed you, like, the way, I mean, it was like a no-brainer to come here.
What has he done for you since you've been here to kind of help you acclimate and get used to what it's like being here at BYU and just even playing college football, too?
I ain't going to tear up or nothing, but, like, Keelan did a lot for me. I mean, from when I first got on campus, let me sleep on the sofa. I mean, if we want to go somewhere, I mean, like, ask me, do I need a ride? Do I need clothes? Like, buying me food, not letting me spend any of my money. I mean, he looked out for me in so many ways. Like, even when it comes to, like, playing football, like, the trash talk, he'd get on me at the crib about, like, if I'm asleep a little too long, he'd say, Trey, get up. You got to go work. Like, I mean, it's all love of it. And, you know, a lot of people might look out there and see, Keelan yelling at Trey and stuff like that. But to me, like, I mean, it's a big brother to me. So I know he knows what it takes, obviously. He's been playing on this level, and he's been doing it, like, highly, All-American. So he done a lot for me. Like, it's so much I could speak of him. Like, that's my brother for life. I love that, man.
That's awesome. On your bio, on the BYU bio that you have, it says you like to fish and cook. What type of fishing do you like to do? And have you checked out any of the fishing places here in Utah, like any rivers, streams, lakes, anything like that?
The fishing that I grew up doing the most was, you know, bass fishing. We bass fish all the time. We catch bass. I mean, bluegill, crappie. We do all that in Georgia. And then, like, when I got old enough, my dad would take me to the Gulf of Mexico with him, go deep sea fishing. So we go catch red snapper, I mean, barracuda, white snapper, mahi-mahi. I mean, we catch all that. And then in Provo, only place I've been able to get out to so far is the Provo River, actually. But, you know, I'm going to start going more now that it's getting warmer outside. So if y'all got any spots like Strawberry or anything, let me know. Like, I want to get in some more fishing out here for sure.
We need to get it out to all fans. Say, hey, give your best fishing spots to Trey, because he's going to go and he's going to hit up those places. Okay. It also you said that you like to cook. Favorite meal that you like to cook?
Favorite meal that I like to cook, I mean, salmon and rice, like mixed vegetables, broccoli, some of those sorts. That's, like, my favorite thing. Or if I'm at home with my mom, I mean, like, mac and cheese, collard greens, cornbread, like, soul food, ribs, all that. So, yeah.
All right. When was the last time you cooked, though? Here's the reason why. I talked to Tommy Francis this past week, and he kind of admitted that all he does is reheat things. He doesn't actually cook. So when was the last time you cooked?
It's been a little minute, and you know, people don't notice, but, well, y'all probably do. During the season, you're so busy with, like, practicing every day and traveling. Like, your body just mentally like out of it. Like by the time you get home, if you really spilled the tank and gave everything you had, you don't really be in the mood to cook unless you have like a bye week or like if we have a Friday game, we may cook on some Saturdays and stuff. So it's been a little minute. I mean, it's probably been like at least like 2 months since I cooked, but you know, we're gonna get back into it in the offseason when we get our little time off.
Last question for you. You guys lose Jacob Robson, Mark Collins from last year's team. What do you expect of yourself and the fellow cornerbacks to do this year? How do you ensure that great things happen in the future?
I mean, I expect myself and other cornerbacks like Evan Johnson, Jonathan Cabea, you know, Maury, Jaden Dunlap, I expect us to, you know, step up and do our role by, like, following what they left with us. They gave us a great blueprint of how to do things. Mark was always intentional with everything he did, and that's something that we was working on in spring ball, from kick-stepping on every rep to running to the ball, everything, like, do it with great intent. And then Jacob, I mean, he's a hell of a leader. He's somebody who always wants to attack the ball in the air. I mean, he's a natural playmaker. So for us to ensure that, we just got to double down on all the little things. Because, like, when you get to this level of football, you know, so many people think it's all the big things, but it's the little things from, you know, showing up on time to, you know, playing through the receiver hand, or it might be, like, taking a step 1 inch too far wide, small stuff like that. We just got to listen to the coaching, you know, keep the bond we had last year and, you know, build on it and, you know, just follow the blueprint that it really left for us.
Trey, it's great having you on Practice Chats and the Deep Blue podcast.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all for having me.
You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.